Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
You can hear Indiana by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Back when guitars were squealing, hair was big, and macho rockers were singing Sweet Cherry Pie, it might have been hard to believe that two guys out of Brooklyn with just a guitar, an accordion, and a drum machine would ever make it. But they did. With smart lyrics, a fresh sound, and a great tongue-in-cheek name, they might be giants. Pioneers of alt rock, they're with us with a new album. This hour on Point, they might be giants. You can join the conversation. Are you a fan? Been a fan for a long time? Are they giants to you? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. They Might Be Giants' new album is Join Us. They've released 15 studio albums since their first self-titled album in 1986. Now two Grammys, recorded kids' songs for the last few years. They're back to the grown-up world and in the thick of a big North American tour. Played Richmond, Virginia yesterday, in Philadelphia tonight, in my backyard here in Boston tomorrow, and with us right now, John Flansburgh, John Linnell, the first two, and drummy Marty Beller from They Might Be Giants are with us from Philadelphia. Welcome, guys. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us, Tom.
It is really exciting to be here.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Much as promised, what's it like to be back on the road?
Well, you know those when the, like teenagers get woken up and taken off to some camp to learn how to be disciplined.
Okay, that's kind of like
more like scared straight.
Yeah, okay. scared straight. That was kind of like our morning. About 45 minutes ago, our tour manager was just like, "Up now, you must be on the radio.
Give me 40. Hit the dirt.
Yeah. Right, song. Play song now. Because it's basically 4 a.m. for us. Really, kind of on this weird somnambulist life cycle where we go to bed at 3 or 4 a.m.
So are you drug fueled crazies at this point, or that's not your way in 2011?
We're relatively clean in terms of what we take in. I can't speak for our personal hygiene,
but it is the coffee. It is the coffee talking right now.
Good. I understand that extremely well, and I don't even have to play at midnight and be on the air the next morning. As soon as we put up online, and you guys are big pioneers online as well when it comes to music, so much response there. And one of the big themes we get, and it's so interesting, and it goes to how you've been around and stuck around and just hanging in there. Megan, for example, says, TMBG, They Might Be Giants, you guys are so great. My kids love you too. You're multi-generational, my friends.
Yeah, it's a very unusual thing. I think we live in a culture where people throw around the concept of audiences being very wide. And to our ears, it always sounds kind of like a lie that you can be, it's fun for people of all ages. I mean, nothing is really fun for people of all ages. But we've actually found we've been going at this for 29 years, and we've always been kind of on the left-hand side of the culture. So we've just kind of found our own audience, or an audience has found us, and they seem to be very passionate. I don't think we're really the best judges of where we land in the culture, but we're very aware that we have a unique spot in the culture.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. You've got awestruck audience, but also a lot of awestruck musicians about the way you've put together and kept together a career. Back from a little singing for kids for the last few years on this new album, Join Us. Here's the first cut from the new album, Can't Keep Johnny Down.
Man piled up in the towering mound. None of them once has found a way to keep Johnny. Built the man
Sounds pretty great. It's got a great drive. What's it like, John and John, to be back in adult land?
I think we've got to turn up those background vocals before you put the album out. It's really exciting. You know, it's a great time for us. We got the world by the tail, what can we say?
And Marty Beller, these guys have been together for so very long, all the way back to high school, also in our backyard here, Lincoln, Massachusetts. What's it like to come into They Might Be Giants territory, Marty, with two guys who have been working and singing and performing together for so long?
It's actually fantastic. They
the coffee's still
Marty's
talking.
He's straining to
I'm
the
straining
microphone.
I'm straining to get the microphone.
It's so great.
These guys encourage you to bring your full self and your full musical ability and ideas to their project, which I think is incredibly smart and generous on their part.
Will you give us something live there in the studio in Philadelphia? Istanbul, I see on my playlist here, not Constantinople. This goes all the way back to 1990. Can you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. What were you saying, John? I'm sorry.
Nope.
Oh, that was, I'm sorry. I'm confused. All right. So many microphones.
So little time.
So early
in the morning.
Here we go. John, you take it.
Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, the Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now Churchill Light, on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople is in Istanbul, the Constantinople, so the in Constantinople, she's waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
So take me back to Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople.
Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the worst? That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Istanbul.
Was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
So take me back to Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople.
Been a long time gone, Constantinople. What a Constantinople got the worst.
That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Istanbul.
Hey, it's 4 a.m. your time, and you deliver They Might Be Giants with Istanbul, not Constantinople, all the way back from the 1990 album Flood. Wow, you guys bring the energy no matter how early it is there. We've got lots of people online saying they remember when, you know, you were out there performing, each with a great big fez on your head. This one, of course, was an old 50s hit from Jim Kennedy and Nat Simon. But what were you going after with a fez on the head in Istanbul?
Jim Kennedy and Annette Simon are the songwriters.
Nat Simon.
Jim Kennedy.
Yes, sir.
On the credits, it always just says Kennedy Simon. I always thought it was
there you go. Jimmy
Paul Simon and,
Nat. And
John Kennedy.
Jimmy and Nat. Right. Meet John and John and Marty.
Yes. Yes.
What were you aiming at back in the day when you weren't going to be a glitter band? You were going to do something
different.
Oh,
that's a really good question. That's a really good question. I think, you know, we were very ambitious, but in a very, very abstract way. I think we kind of just wanted to create our own musical universe in a sense, which sounds ridiculous, but I think it was kind of like that. We weren't really connected to the contemporary rock culture. We kind of found the world of alternative rock as we were touring more than we identified with it and then folded into it. It was something that was kind of starting as we actually came out of the New York City performance art scene, and that was a very much like a gallery thing combined with the rock club. It was a very late night, very hypersexualized, kind of crazy scene. And then when we went out on the road in America, we met the world of The Replacements and Husker Du and REM and all the sort of rock stuff that would be the sort of, you know, the precursors of the grunge people.
Did you know, John and John, all the way back in high school days, that you were not going to be mainstream, whatever it turned out to be, that you would have this alt kind of life? Was that clear
early on? We probably had even more of a sense of it then. I don't think now it's really clear what is alt and what isn't. But at the time, when we were teenagers, we were interested in what was then called underground rock, and I think we felt like we had a, you know, we had a deep love for the former mainstream of the 60s, and it seemed like there'd been this horrible divergence mm-hmm. of music into, on, you know, on the one hand Pere Ubu and on the other hand ABBA and or I mean I should say and the, on the other hand the Bee Gees, you know, stuff that we yeah. were actually feeling oppressed by,
or even or even stuff like, you know, the Eagles or Linda Ronstadt. I think I remember very well that in 1977 when we were teenagers in Boston, there was kind of a mainstream nice rock music that was being made yeah. And then, you know, of course, I mean, we really were the perfect age to get swept up by the new wave explosion. So there was a lot of asymmetrical hairdos in our lives.
Were you sure there'd be an audience out there if you threw yourself out there?
I don't think no, we cared.
We were
performance art. Who cares?
Yeah. I don't think you start doing the kind of stuff that we do, thinking like this is gonna work. We've been happily surprised pretty much all the way down the line.
I think we initially felt like we wanted to do something that we would like, and we had no clear sense of who else would like it or what the channels, channels existed for it.
Hey, it is so great to have you with us at this eye-cracking hour of the morning for you guys. They might be giants with us. Please stand by right there in Philadelphia. We've got to take a break right here. But John Flansburgh, John Linnell, drummer Marty Beller from They Might Be Giants, all with us this hour. Listeners, you can join us. Are these your alt-rock guiding lights from how far back now? 800-423-8255 is our number. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Particle can, what's he like? It's not important. Particle man, is he a dot or is he a speck?
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Sitting in very happily with alt-rock pioneers. They Might Be Giants today. The boys out of Brooklyn who just keep making their own way. Particle Man behind us right here from all the way back on their album Flood in 1990. You may have grown up with them. Your kids may have grown up with them. In the last decade, they did a lot of singing for the youngins. You can join us this hour. Did they grab you in high school? Sing to your babies? Are they still grabbing you today? Were you there for Flood, Lincoln, Birdhouse in Your Soul, what these guys in your iPod, and what keeps They Might Be Giants fresh? What keeps them coming on? The new album is Join Us. John Linnell and John Flansburgh, the founding two, with us today from Philadelphia, along with their drummer, Marty Beller. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Wow, do we have a lot of response for you? Here's one. Corey says, first of all, he remembers spending a lot of time in college listening to you guys at a show at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, early 90s. He said the fez could be seen on many students for a long time after the show, and he is begging, please, could you explain the song? Who's the particle man? Who's the triangle man? Who's the universe man? He begs you to let him know what it's all about. What do you say?
Well, it's not really an occult mystery. It's more like there's an impression you get from the song, and there's nothing hidden particularly in it. It's, you know, you might say it's a set of characters, and what you see is what you get, really. That I think that's the...
So you're saying it's less like Animal Farm and more like Garfield, John?
I wouldn't go all the way to Garfield, but...
All right.
Okay, then, Corey, somewhere between Animal Farm and Garfield, sounds like you're going to have to look into your own triangle soul.
High-lowest?
High-low in between... Let's bring him in. Somebody lined up here. Matt in Drake at Massachusetts. Matt, you're on with They Might Be Giants.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Pretty well. Very well.
Good. Hi, guys.
Hello, Matt. How's it going?
I've actually been a fan with you guys before the 90s. I mean, I still have the original Flood tape.
Excellent. You're wondering why we sold out?
you're saying tape there advisedly. This is not is a cassette tape.
Are you going for some kind of indie cred thing
here? Yeah, right.
Well, actually, I I'm just so glad you come in with a new CD now, because it sounds like you're going back to your roots almost. And
that's
it.
Yeah.
You know, to me, you're playing all the old Flood songs. So for me, I'm smiling while driving, just listening to this.
Well, to be fair, we're playing some Flood songs here. They've got pretty much all new stuff on the new album. But what about what's new and what's old, and what's new and what's old here?
I think we're trying to make a brand new thing every time out of the box, and maybe sometimes it strikes people as fresher than others. I don't think we've ever thought, oh, let's go back and make that record again. Or
I think the thing that our original projects had that in common with our new album is that there's a much more pared down arrangement style. When we first started recording, we were often recording on just four tracks, and literally, even though we still had the desire to overproduce what we're doing and get into our late period Beatlemania, early period Steely Dan, studio trickery moment, we just didn't have the tracks. This time it was a little bit more of an artistic decision, and so there is some common ground there, but I don't think we really want to move into that mannerist period where you're just echoing something of your original impulse. I think we feel very strongly that it's as songwriters and arrangers and producers, where there is a progression. I don't know. I've got a friend who has a rock theory that all bands' first albums are the only good thing that they do.
Ooh.
So,
ooh. But that's demonstrably false. Yeah. I can think of six bands that's completely.
She's not interested in your six bands.
Yeah. Sure. we don't want to go with that. That would be too bad for long careers. And we're glad you've got one. But let's hear. Let's just listen. Let's hear and judge ourselves. This is off the new album. Join Us, and Children's Music. Not Judy Is Your Vietnam.
Met Judy in the 90s. She threw parties for magazines. For a while she had a roommate, but that roommate was never seen. Who knew she could be so reckless? Who knew you could be so wrong? Dancing in her kitchen for so long.
Reckless and wrong. Judy's Your Vietnam. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. John in Virginia Beach, Virginia. John, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you think?
Well, I really enjoyed the show last night in Richmond.
Oh, you were there for They Might Be Giants last night?
I was indeed, and I was glad to know that I have lots of choices in my aging alternative rock music, and I was glad to make that choice.
We thank you for choosing They Might Be Giants.
Now, I have a question about that Ape versus Man thing, which the Ape, I think, really did win.
Wait a minute, Ape versus Man, what are we talking about?
Explain what this is. There's a part of our show where we pit one half of the audience against the other. They assume the roles of the apes and the humans, and there's a battle.
It's called Ape Club.
The show was fantastic. You guys have wonderful energy in the banter with the audience. It was just I really would recommend the show to anybody.
Well, and John, they really compete. I mean, in Virginia Beach, our dear caller, they compete to hoot and holler. Did the apes win or the humans last night?
Well, last night it was the humans.
Oh, hey.
Yes, victory. Yes. Some people suspect that that it may be a fix.
we couldn't
possibly comment.
It was well worth the 2-hour drive. Now, can you guys come to Virginia Beach so I can bring my daughter?
We would love to come to Virginia Beach. We like playing pretty much anywhere. You know, it's fun to play.
I appreciate your call, John. I got to ask you guys. I mean, here online, yeah. Suze is, you know, quoting you back from Flood 1990. Why is the world in love again? Why are we marching hand in hand? Why are the ocean levels rising up? I don't know. Apes versus humans. What are you having fun with there? Are you playing politics in your music?
We're doing a little bit of social engineering.
Yeah.
It's really just for fun. I think when we started as a duo, there was automatically this kind of breaking the. I mean, not to get too philosophizing about it, but kind of breaking the fourth wall was all we could do because we were so outnumbered and we didn't have that secret gimmick that so many bands have, which is extreme volume. So right. Very early on, kind of took on the audience as our helpmates in making music. So we often call upon the audience to do different things, and with the ape thing, it's really just about just completely pumping the audience up into this crazy frenzy. It is actually very strange how much energy they can pour out into this, into just screaming the word ape at the top of their lungs.
You were with your drum machine and your guitar and your accordion, kind of really and truly helping pioneer something that's become awfully big since then. I mean, you look around and so many bands talk about your influence, you know. I mean, Green Day, Neutral Milk Hotel, Bare Naked Ladies, Ben Folds 5, Jonathan Colton. I mean, on and on, Fountains of Wayne.
I think the only couple of things that I think we contributed, I think in our rock videos, we really reminded people that Hard Day's Night was a really good movie. And the way they captured the energy of the spirit of a band was really right on.
So it was genuine and arch at the same time and having fun with us.
Yeah, I mean, it was just our videos were slightly pretentious, but they were also very energetic. And up until then, it was the tyranny of nickel and dime surrealism on MTV, and we upped the ante to quarter and dollar surrealism.
you guys are smart, and you've been in this a long time. Give us your you know, 3-minute sort of mini history of what happened to alt rock. You stepped on the stage, performance artist there in Brooklyn, did your thing, broke the fourth wall. Flood and all the rest. How do you see what's happened in the decades now since?
Well, I don't know whether we're qualified to make a sweeping statement about the history of. I would say for our part, we got into it thinking we wanted, as I said, we wanted to do what we with something that we would like, and we did not have any clear idea of what audience existed out there. And that, I think, that's really the germ of the entire project, is we didn't. We were not trying to second guess the audience. We didn't even know who was out there. And I think we would have possibly been successful at cooking up something that was a more of an idea of this is a kind of music that people are going to like. We didn't know what kind of music we were doing. We never decided. But
you liberated, maybe is the word, a lot of other people to do something like that. I mean, people said, well, you can do that. Okay, here we go. And what do you think of where that went?
Well, it was an interesting time. I think anytime there's a musical movement that doesn't have a unified musical style, you're kind of dealing with something, a more powerful force in the culture. At the beginning of alternative rock, it had to be alternative rock because the established rock was so firmly ensconced. I mean, its place in the world was very secure, those older rock people weren't leaving. You know, the Rolling Stone magazine was very, very intrigued with the new albums by veteran acts.
That stuff must have started out as utterly, you know, a set of unique things that were roped together to form a movement.
Yeah, true.
But somehow they became kind of ossified.
Becomes a genre, becomes maybe ossified.
Yeah, and the truth is, like, alternative rock now as a construct does have a general style to it. You know, there is a way that bands are sort of present themselves that they've got a lot in common. But I don't know. I mean, it's. From our perspective, it's we're just trying to do something as original as we can figure out how to do that actually works with our creaky voices. And our,
they might and be giants. The creaky, they not so creaky. They might be giants. Yeah. The new album is Join Us. They took a little break from that sort of world of singing for adults to sing for kids. Here from 2002, Bed, Bed, Bed.
Darkness has descended over everything in town. The covers have been turned, and I've got my pajamas on. I've had my fun, I've stretched and yawned, and all is said and done, I'm going to bed. Bed, 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 bed.
They might be giants in their do it for the kids phase. We are being overrun with parents as this goes out to the world. Rachel in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Rachel, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wasn't actually that familiar with They Might Be Giants, and my mother purchased the ABC DVD for my children, and honestly, I was telling them off the air that it made me insane at night. I couldn't sleep because the songs were repeating over and over and over again in my head.
Very sorry, Rachel.
Backwards ABCs, the C is for conifer. My son, my children responded to it so much. And my son talks about what a conifer is now. Most of the time children learn C is for cat, not C is for conifer. And one of them was F is for fake believe. My mother and I actually looked at each other and said, do they really say fake believe? Like, that is not a word.
Fake believe.
They've enjoyed it. They love it. They know all the songs by heart. Most of the time I'm listening to it while I'm driving, but I've watched it a few times myself, and it's pretty insane.
Hey, Rachel, thank you so much for that. I'm doing crowd control here with parents, so let me get one more. Thank you, Rachel. Rebecca in Upton, Massachusetts. Rebecca, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just would like to thank They Might Be Giants. When I was pregnant with my daughter in 1997, I made a decision to allow no children's music in my car because it's usually so obsequious and irritating. And when they came along, I allowed my kids to play. That was the only CD I allowed them to play of kids' music. And they have helped mold kids with discerning tastes in music now. They both like alternative music. My daughter was thrilled when last year in eighth grade they played the Science DVD. She knew, I mean, the CD.
She knew it all. Hey, Rebecca, let me ask you then. Let me give you something off the new album, Join Us. Tell me if your kids are going to like this. The Lady and the Tiger, They Might Be Giants.
The lady said to the tiger as he stood behind some doors, I'm sick of this job, I don't know what we're waiting here for. I'm turning off life support, I'm putting an end to this joke. The tiger thought about this and then the tiger spoke.
They Might Be Giants from their new album, Join Us, with, oh, well, you hear it right there, The Lady and the Tiger. Rebecca, you be the judge. Is this going to be the new lullaby music? Are your kids going to, kids going to like it?
Yeah, I think they'll like it. They're past lullaby age, but they will definitely like it. They listen to the old stuff. They way back to Particle Man and Constantinople. They like it all, so I'm sure they will enjoy this as well.
How old are your kids now?
They are 14 and 12.
Oh, okay.
All right. Up they go. Rebecca, thanks for calling.
14-year-olds love baritone sax.
Baritone sax, got to hear it, got to feel it. Tearjerker right here. Lucy writes to you, grateful to the Johns and their band for being such a fixture in my family for so many years. My five kids have grown up with their lyrics as a second language. When my son was diagnosed with bone cancer in his leg at age 12, 4 years ago, they very graciously autographed his crutches after a concert in Northampton a month before his leg was amputated. He loved the fact that he had a Linnell crutch and a Flansburgh crutch, and we still have them. Keep up the good work. Wow, you get into dealing with kids, and you're dealing with real life in a hurry.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of responsibility, but,
it sounds like you picked it up. You got out there. You signed the crutches. You helped the kid be happy.
Well, it's easy to sign a crutch,
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's good. We appreciate that.
Lucy, we're happy something. That your son's got some They Might Be Giant mojo working in him, and glad that you could all get together right there. It's so great to have you with us, John Linnell, John Flansburgh, Marty Beller with They Might Be Giants. We're going to hear more off the new album, maybe get some more live performance if you can hold it together for 20 minutes more. They Might Be Giants are with us from Philadelphia. We'll go out with Three Might Be Duende, as in flamenco. We'll ask about it. You can join us. What keeps They Might Be Giants fresh? What keeps them coming on? What's your question for the band, for John and John? What hooked people when it was just two guys and a backing track, a drum machine? Are they giants to you now? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back with They Might Be Giants.
The incubus freezes the mind. Fooled by his charm. Right off the farm. Sound might be Duende's alarm.
Dystopio, smashed to bits. The keeper of dust. The builder of rust. When you discover sleep's older brother, the trio is finally complete.
The trio has just one conceit, forged by their past, first in their class. Three might be Dwayne, at last.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're sitting in with alt-rock pioneers. They might be giants today. They play the music behind Jon Stewart's The Daily Show. You can hear it right on there, Dog on Fire, written by Bob Mould. You can join us this hour, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. The original two, John Flansburgh and John Linnell, are with us. Drummer Marty Beller is with us. All in Philadelphia today. They're out with a big new album, Join Us. Coming back to the adult listener after several years with the kids, 800-423-TALK. John Flansburgh, how is it that you guys ended up playing the theme for Jon Stewart's Daily Show?
You know, just your typical show business insider deal. The woman who used to book us on the David Letterman show had become the producer, was the creator of the Daily Show back when it was Craig Kilborn.
Yep. Yeah.
And we had just been doing some incidental music for ABC Nightline. We're doing the science show with Robert Krulwich,
mm-hmm.
Which was their summer replacement thing. Every year, Nightline would do this. It really makes you realize how different television was at the time.
Yeah.
It was much more like the public service notion of broadcasting that existed. That no mm-hmm. longer does exist. Mm-hmm. But they did these science programs, and we were called upon to do these kind of John Williams-like orchestral cues for the incidental music of the program. And they were very aware that that was something that we could do, and the people at The Daily Show really wanted the texture of a real network news kind of that kind of pompous.
But
the
kind of jazzed up in a non-network way.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an intro, which is the sort of more standard news music, and they wanted the John Williams sound at the They Might Be Giants price, I think. That was,
yeah.
That
was
there you were. Yeah. Wow, how fortunate
it
is.
So we had actually kind of worked in the straight world for a moment doing news music like that, and then that hooked us in, and then when it came time to do the actual rock theme intro, that actually was just like falling off a log.
Do you get a little kick anytime you watch The Daily Show and hear your own selves wailing away there?
You know, we're suburban kids. You know, we grew up watching television. It's always exciting to hear yourself on TV. You know, there have been times when I've actually, I've changed channels and heard our music on one channel and then on another channel, and
I elbow my wife and say, I wrote that.
Yeah. You know, that's me. That's 12, us. That's
12
me,
years
that's
into
us.
The Daily Show.
Even when Bob Mould wrote it, we elbow our wives.
You know, I had to wonder, it sounds like you guys are so on. It sounds like you're still very into it from your music. But you mentioned REM earlier, and they famously sort of, you know, tossed in the towel recently. Now, maybe they started later than you. I don't know. But you got started around the same time. Is there one kind of music you can only do for so long and another kind of music, maybe yours, that you can do the whole distance? What were you thinking when they said, you know, Michael Stipe saying, it's just time, it's enough?
Well, I think that you get to decide, you know. We actually were scratching our heads over the REM decision because it seems to us you can just take a break without declaring that you're breaking up, which is, you know. Not that we've done that either.
They're such a more successful band than us. I mean, I think you know, we are. You know, we're just still trying to claw our way to the middle. You know, we don't have that. We can't have that luxury that of rock stars to just say, oh, we no longer feel.
We'll just sit on the bank. Well, you may look at it that way, but I was looking at some blogs and writing out of Nashville. A lot of musicians there.
We spent the money, Tom, is what I'm saying.
Okay, it's all gone. Write some more. Get to work. Nose to grindstone. Yeah. But these are musicians looking at you guys and saying, wow, this is really interesting. They just keep making a career in an unorthodox way, and they just keep making it happen and making it happen, whether it's the music you've done for television, whether it's the kids chapter, you know, coming out with a new album, Join Us. But there's something interesting in musicians watching you guys and saying, oh, that is terrific how they just keep pulling it out of their ear.
We're compulsive. You know, we're not trying to fill a need particularly. I think we really would do this even if everybody stopped caring at this point.
Lots of people. Scott says, you guys saved my sanity. Here's another says, you guys gave me the best educational experience of my life. I learned about palindromes and mammals and the sun. You're sort of like the Khan Academy of underground rock with tchotchkes. Thank you, thank you. Here's another just off the last song we were playing before the break. I don't know
what the Khan Academy is.
Oh, Khan Academy is a... We talked with a guy recently. He does these amazing little tutorials online. Anything you want to learn about. He started with math, and he's moving to all kinds of things now. You want to get educated, just go pick off the little piece you want to learn about, and he'll do a three-minute thing, and you'll know all about it. Lots of people into it.
I was thinking University of Phoenix.
Well, it's sort of an organic, more for real version of
right,
that.
Right.
He wrote these things almost on a chalkboard in a closet, and it's turned out to be a big deal. I mean, part of what people love about you guys is that you're literate, that you use the whole language, that you don't hide it under a barrel, and it's not all just, I don't know if it's apes versus humans, you're way into the cerebellum.
I think we're trying to write original stuff and find new ways to write songs. You know, the popular song is a little bit established, but there is there's some juice left in there, and we're just trying to find it.
And we're as much on the side of the apes, needless to say.
Yes, we feel that running deep. Asghal writes off Three Might Be Duende, says, please, please tell us about Duende, one of my favorite songs on the new album, Join Us. Now, what Duende, isn't that sort of the ecstasy that flamenco dancers reach when things are real on a good night on the dance floor? Or is that what
I think playing? that is considered one of the purest examples of it. But it's a fascinating word. My wife Robin actually first explained to me what Duende was, and one of the interesting things about the definition of it is that it's hard to define. It's basically a spiritual. It is kind of the
samadhi for Spanish dancers in flamenco garb. Or
yeah, I mean, it implies to the arts in general. Though I think anything that is fiery and passionate, and I believe there's supposed to be a dash of mortality or maybe even existential angst in there as well. So it's a very sophisticated kind of emotion that is created by taking art in. I think it's a very continental idea. There's not a lot of duende in American culture. I don't think people watching television are thinking.
We may learn it.
So passionate.
Well, maybe as our history grows more mottled and textured, maybe a little darker, we may learn some duende. Speaking of darker, I want to hear a little more from the album. Join us. This is When Will You Die? This also... Not for kids. When will you die? They might be giants.
I'm so tired of your lies and the evil things you're doing behind my back. Are the crimes that you have never committed? I doubt it sometimes. I wonder when will you die? You're insane. You are bad. You wreck everything you touch. You're no sociopath. There's one thing that everyone's wondering. When will you die?
Okay. We're hard-edged here. This is sort of, when will you die? I'm so done with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like to say it's about somebody in this room, but I'm not going to say who.
Parents, we don't know about this one for a lullaby either. Gerald in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Gerald, thanks for calling. You're on the air with They Might Be Giants.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. And John and Jim, really an honor to talk to you guys. I'm a sort of a lifelong fan of y'all, back from... I was sort of in eighth grade. I still have your Flood cassette, and really grew up with you guys. And when kids in college were touring with Fish and the Dead, I was following you guys through the Midwest. But now I'm older. I'm a little younger than y'all, so I have now a 3-year-old, and some of his first songs he's learning that he loves are Fossil Large Mammal and The Sun and all these from back in the day, as well as the new stuff. So I really appreciate that and love it that you are still putting out music. My question, I guess, is about the kids' music. When you guys were putting together Flood and your first album, and you were two guys and a drum machine, did you have it in your head that you were going to be making these kids' albums and have such a wide appeal for kids?
No, we
how did that sort of transition happen?
We were actually a little worried that we'd be perceived. Our first album had a very H.A. Ray, Curious George style illustration as the cover, and Tower Records promptly stuck it in the kids section because they had no idea what it was. And you know, so we were a little worried that we would be misfiled early on. And it took us, I'd say, about 15 years, I think, before we consented to actually make a kids' record, maybe partly because of that paranoia.
But it came, and the kids listened. Rob in Boston is calling. Hi, Rob. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Actually, my friend Gene and I were just discussing the other night when They Might Be Giants were on Tiny Toons, and they had like two short 3-minute segments of, I think it was Particle Man and Istanbul. We're just wondering how that all came about.
It was a very strange story. We were actually touring around the United States making, without exaggeration, I think approximately $150 or $250 a night. Oh. And we got a call. We're on a van tour, you know, very classic indie rock kind of van tour.
Yep.
And we got a call that they were Steven Spielberg was starting up the Warner Brothers cartoon series again, and they would like to use a couple of our songs. And that seemed exactly the kind of exposure that would be interesting to us. And attached with it was a check for, I think, maybe $5,000 or $7,000, but it might as well have been $100 million at the time.
Yeah.
So it was a very, we hemmed and hawed about it because we really didn't know. It was one of the first things I think we were ever involved in where we weren't figuring out what the final product was going to be. We were very much control freaks up until that moment. But it's turned out to be the kind of the intro for a whole generation of people. They replay those cartoons over and over and over again, and it's basically never gone off the air. I don't think they've even made that many episodes. They're very expensive to make because I think it's actually cell animation.
Right.
So they just repeat them over and over, and people hear those songs and they respond, and it really kind of jumps out at people. So
play it again, Sam. It's good for you. Our clock is running down, but we've got you, and we want to get you for one more live, if you would. You've got this piece, Cloisonné, Rolling Stone.
Cloisonné.
We used to talk about them. Now they say this is a strutty cabaret joint piece. Would you do it for us?
Sure. This is a very unusual song. It has a kind of a freeform chromatic jazz ending. So
cool.
If you're driving, please pull over.
All right, pull over now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
1, 2, 3, 4. Mind your business. Mind your business. Mind your never shut haunted heart business. My crap is exploding. It's like I'm making poison ain't choking on my dust with my. It's a raindrop made of pain. Tell me the story, raindrop. I don't wanna tell him, mister. Tell me the story, raindrop. I don't wanna tell him. Keep your voice down. Keep your voice down. Keep your window shaking. Got a shaking voice down. I'm sick of this beeswax. I'm sick of these second stories. Sleep stack breathing on my thighs. Giving me back rub. Concentration, you start getting all conversating. Sleep stack, what's a sleep stack? That's your heart attack, towel rack, fall back. You got no doctors, all your doctors have gone home. What's a sleep stack? What's a sleep stack? You got a friend in law enforcement. Don't go calling law enforcement. We'll be right back.
I'll take that. I'll take that live in the studio. Wow. They might be giants with Chloe Zinay off the new album, Join Us. I will take that. Tell them the story, Raindrop. I mean, how does it work? You got the new album now. Like, if it was me, I'd say, that's great. I mean, do you sort of triangulate off of what you've done and say, which one did we sort of enjoy the most? Let's do more of that? Or is it always...
I feel like, I should say, like, when John Flansburgh submitted that particular song for the album, that, in a way, defined the direction for me more than anything of Join Us. It was sort of the halfway point in the writing, and it
nuts.
Seemed like... Yeah, it seemed like he was driving directly off the highway, and that was something that was very much appreciated.
Good stuff. Can we expect or imagine that we'll get more of that next time out? Could this be the new They Might Be Giants direction?
the more difficult listening of They Might Be Giants?
Well,
I think there's something appealing about, you know, the strange thing about writing songs in general is that you can invest a tremendous amount of time in something that sounds very, very loose and stream of consciousness. There's that actual, you know, as slight as that lyric might sound, it actually took quite a bit of time to put together. And the weirdest thing is that the track that we put together for the song, which is extraordinarily fragile little piece of electronica, for the most part, took weeks to put together, but that's just one of the strange things about it.
We're not trying to make it sound hard,
right? You know?
These simple lyrics, children, Zen mastery. They might be giants. You guys are so great. John Flansburgh, John Linnell, Marty Beller, we're so grateful to you for being with us. So
thank you so much.
Grateful for your work over time. We wish you great luck. The new album is Join Us. John, Marty, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Tom.
You so
Thanks
much.
A lot.
We'll go out with Celebration from They Might Be Giants off their new album, Join Us. Wow, listeners, we see all your response here. We get it. You like it. Great. Celebration. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for joining us.